Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Today's show, The Science Delusion. Don't take the sucker punch. Yes, I am talking to you. However distanced you may be from science, you nonetheless have to deal with a simple fact. Science rules us all, sometimes competing with our concept of the spiritual. Now, it wasn't supposed to be this way, but I call your attention to many years ago, back in the days of the Renaissance, when Galileo, our famed astronomer, spent the last 20 years of his life imprisoned because he wouldn't really come to terms with the Vatican's worldview of the solar system. As we know, as you remember, Galileo Galileo, back in the 1500s, declared that the sun was the center of the solar system and not the earth. And this viewpoint roused the Vatican, who had already beheaded a number of past colleagues, Giordano Bruno in particular, for creating a worldview that wasn't quite consistent with the present day. This is the 1500s view of spirituality. Well, jump to a few hundred years later, Rene Descartes. And we all know of Descartes, one of the great philosophers, scientists, mathematicians, a name even today we know and regularly study in schools. Well, as one of my videos on the website will show, Descartes cut a deal, not a formal deal, but nonetheless an implied deal with the Vatican in the 1700s. And so that he could support and nourish the growth of science, he decided to take the spiritual out of the scientific. Now, this, of course, at the time seemed like the intelligent motion based on the past, and things worked fairly well. The Vatican and the other religious orthodoxies had their control of what we meant by the word spiritual. Anything ethereal, God, godlike, in the name of the spirit, was relegated to the church, and the church is, and anything scientific, and again, science was new, right? It really wasn't science in the sense we understand it today, but science was growing rapidly, and that science, in fact, had its domain, and the two shall never meet. And that's the way the arrangement went for many, many years, and I think it worked, well, kind of effectively. No one can deny the benefits and the contribution science has made, particularly those in medicine, which, of course, is our interest today. Of course, why do I call today's show The Science Delusion? Don't take the sucker punch. Well, we're in the 21st century, and something is changing. Something is changing in science, and this is very relevant to you, because this is your way out of the enslavement. That enslavement being the things that you are told when you become symptomatic, when you become disease-ridden, when you're diagnosed and informed that you have a progressive degenerative disease and that your genes coded you for this and there really is no way out. I'm going to argue today that this pessimism is the delusion of science, that when you're told there's nothing you can do but take the surgery or do the drug, that there's no intelligence in the body, there's no consciousness in your human organism, there's no God in there, There's no spirit in there that might lead you out of your symptomatic or disease-ridden hell. I'm going to call that the scientific delusion. I'm going to ask you to consider what you're being told generally by your medical doctors and by your pharmacists as to what your options are is really part of a delusion, their own delusion, about the nature of the very subject that they represent. Now, I'm not alone in my belief. There are many scientists that would join hands with me. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is not a supplement show. This is not a show that asks you to approach your health by buying supplements. Although if you do that, certainly bless you on your way. But if you're looking for deeper answers, if you're looking for more comprehensive perspectives, if, well, you haven't gotten your return on your investment in your health, then I suggest you listen to this show today. Better yet, if you can, get to the website straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc with two T's. Those of you who can't, well, you can't, but when you can, get to that website. Listen to the show again. These shows are designed to make you listen again and again. Simple things go deep. On today's show, show 297, we start with a YouTube clip. We're not going to listen to the clip today. I'm just going to introduce Rupert Sheldrake. And I put his YouTube clip on the site today because this was a talk he did called The Science Delusion, and it was banned from TED Talks. And that, I think, is interesting. Interesting because TED Talks today presents itself or postures itself to the American public as, you know, the cutting edge scientific avant ingenue container for great ideas. And yet this talk was banned. That's why I want you to listen to it. It was banned. And there's a good reason that it was banned. Because Sheldrake is one of many, some of whom are very credentialed scientists, who are asking science to consider that when Descartes made that deal with the Vatican that long ago, so that science might survive its otherwise potential prosecution, that when Descartes made that deal to take God out of the cell, to take God and the spiritual out of science, that science was put in its own cage. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say to you, my audience, that this is your cage unless you see beyond it. And the result is when you're told your symptom and your disease, your dying, decaying, progressively degenerating mind or heart or kidney or liver or spleen, that you're only 14 and we're going to have to cut pieces of your intestines out because your Crohn's or your ulcerative colitis are so bad, that your gallbladder's shot and it needs to get pulled out, that your joints need to be replaced, that it's normal and average and okay to be on 10 different drugs by the time you're 70, that you've been through a lot of stress and it's good to give up your brain to SSRIs like Prozac or opiates. I'm going to ask you to consider that those suggestions are made from people who, although they say they represent science, are really in this scientific cage because they don't view science as having its own consciousness. They don't view your organism, your temple, as having an intelligence that can be appealed to through right living, and that something within you, like a muscle, can grow and redirect your organism, sometimes beyond our understanding, to a healing to render you free of drugs, of surgery, and of all the maladies. The doctors that give you their opinions, that posture as scientists, are all too often disrespectful to this notion. And this is what Sheldrake is talking about. This is what Bruce Lipton is talking about. This is what certain scientists have always taken as just obvious and second nature. That the only way you learn science is to learn the divine and see the divine in the natural mechanism of the human organism, how your cell behaves to protect itself, to keep itself healthy, is precisely what science should be devoting itself to understanding, without which we then disrespect that, interfere with science. I'm going to cite an article out of Scientific American. This article I do want you to take a look at. So go to the top of the website. Those of you who can't get to the site, just follow as well as you can. You'll understand. Go to the top of the page. Click to view the full article on autophagy. Autophagy. This is out of this month's Scientific American. It's entitled Organ Overhaul. Now, we're not going to get too deeply into this, but I want you to get the gist of it because it's a classic example of the claim I'm making, where science, without respect for the spiritual, without respect for nature, decides to spend its time, energy, and money interfering with nature rather than supporting, enhancing, and facilitating nature. And science does this all the time. And my point to you is that you bear the burden of that because you're being given counsel continually by organizations that have no respect for real science, the science of the spiritual. Well, take a look at this. Organelle overhaul. We're talking about something in the cell called a lysosome. And to cut to the chase, a lysosome is like a Pac-Man inside your cell. And anytime the lysosome, under direction, and that's a good question, under direction from who and what, anytime this Pac-Man inside your cell decides that something in the cell, perhaps in the cell on its way to disease, perhaps in the cell on its way to regenerating itself, well, at some point, the lysosome, the Pac-Man, begins to eat the things inside the cell that the cell doesn't need. It's an internal garbage dump. That effectively is what a lysosome is. And that's kind of what this article is explaining. Now, if you look at the article, and if you can, I'll just read it. As most high schoolers learn, the lysosome carries out waste disposal and recycling. And that's what I just said. In a process known as autophagy, meaning self-eating, it takes old cellular components of your diseased cell and unneeded large molecules of your semi-diseased cell, such as proteins, nucleic acids, they being the building blocks of your DNA, sugars, and the lysosome digests them with the help of its own enzymes and acids. Now, here's the key, and this is the God part, and this is the way we should interpret it, but you'll see the way this article is misinterpreted. When an organism is fasting or starving, the lysosome prompts the cell to create more lysosomes containing enzymes that can digest fat reserves, a source of energy. I'll repeat that again. When an organism is fasting or starving, the organelle prompts the cell to create more lysosomes containing enzymes that can digest fat reserves and other molecules. Now, I only put this article on. There are many articles talking about autophagy and fasting, meaning any time you fast. In all religious traditions fast, and Jesus fasted in the desert, ostensibly a water fast, 40 days and 40 nights. Many religious traditions talk about fasting, and many religious groups practice fasting. And if you trace this sacred time-honored action to its roots, it was always understood as a way of purification so that one could commune more easily with God. Now, what would this possibly have to do with health? And here's the point. If you keep the spiritual and the scientific as one, you can see the argument in the biology of the cell for the fact that fasting is the perfect foundation for cell detoxification and cellular regeneration, both of which are absolutely vital when you are combating a symptom or a progressive degenerative disease. Now, there is science there, because as anyone, and they gave, I'll mention his name in a moment, a Nobel Prize a number of years ago for the understanding of autophagy. As that cell increases its concentration of lysosomes when prompted by fasting, by denial of glucose and other foods, the cell, now here's the key, will in an intelligent hierarchy, as if being ordered by a higher source, the cell will, with discretion, destroy the unneeded pieces within itself. It will eat the garbage. It will eat the toxin. It will go after the infection. It'll derange the metal. It will do all the things that it needs to do to destroy the garbage within itself and then break down the garbage so it can use it to recycle itself as long as you starve it. And doesn't that sound to you like the initiation of a healing? Using a fast or an intermittent fast or a series of fasts, but do you see the powerful argument that science can provide? Now, watch what this article does with something as sacred and spiritual and so integrated into science as starving the cell. Watch. The very last sentence in the article, and the articles abound like this in the scientific literature, Cell Biology, Cell Magazine, Scientific American, it always goes this way. And this is my point to you. Look at what this article does. At the end of the article, it says, what all this research makes clear is that the lysosomes should no longer be considered a dead end. Instead, they might just be on the way forward for a new generation of life-saving drugs. And there you are, the beast. And there you are, the myopia of science. And there you are, the prison. This wonderful article on lysosomes, the connection to fasting, only to conclude with, and now that we understand it better, what we're going to do is take this piece of divine information, forget that it's divine, and spend our money appealing to the National Institute of Health for more drugs so we can figure out how to go in there and synthetically alter this God-given miracle. And do you understand my point? This is science in a cage. Now, what this article should do, what this magazine should do, is put together the hundreds, if not the thousands, of observed mechanisms in science that are studied deeply, that are given Nobel Prizes to, and figure out ways of right living to enhance those mechanisms so that in the totality of the assault on a diseased cell, you can rearrange things, including genetic expression, to turn off disease mechanisms and self-regulate the cell. Now, that's what we should be doing. But here's a classic article, and I read these articles all the time. I look for these articles because what I do is I take these articles and I do what is wise. I celebrate the science, and then I look for natural mechanisms to enhance the process. And that is not the counsel you are being given at Kaiser Permanente. That is not the counsel you are being given by your medical doctors. And the point of Sheldrake's book, he's got a number of books out. You can see the YouTube clip, but he's got another book called Science Set Free, an entire book arguing exactly my point. And what he's saying is, what you're getting online in the hospitals as you await your organ transplants, as you await your knee and joint replacements, as you await the latest cocktail of chemotherapies, as you're being seduced into trials for new drugs, given false promises and false hopes only because we need people to amass statistics with. There are all these life-saving mechanisms already at work in the cell. And yet every time we study them, we end the article. We end the article like this article. Instead, all this information just might be a new way forward for a new generation of drugs. And that is why I named today's show, The Science Delusion, Don't Take the Sucker Punch. All right, let's keep going. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website if you can. If this show needs a second or third hearing, I offer these shows to you on the archives. StraightTalk.cc. Another YouTube clip I put on by Candace Pert, PhD. Pert should win a Nobel Prize sooner or later. She worked under Solomon Schneider, one of the most eminent scientists of his day, and in 1972, she identified the opiate receptor. She was the main brain behind the discovery of the opiate receptor in the brain. Only, as she points out, even in this little clip with Bill Moyers, she goes on to say that there are opiate receptors throughout the entire human body. The organs have opiate receptors. Do you know what that means? It means your disease is really the failure of your organs and your brain to work in reciprocity, to have an opiate experience, to get stoned on the chemicals that God provides you to communicate with the heavens. And in the absence of that, without a sufficient intensity of that, without a reciprocity between the opiate receptors of your brain and the opiate receptors of your diseased organ, your cell will not regenerate. Your cell will succumb to poison. Your progressive degenerative disease will take you down the path. And what Pert, a highly credentialed, brilliant, as I said, she should receive that Nobel Prize someday. As she pointed out, this thing about the opiate, it was really the basis for holistic medicine. The same way Pissinger saw the extracellular matrix, those of you who listen to the show regularly, the cleanliness of the space between the cell going in there and draining the swamp between your cells in your organ of choice, draining the swamp between those two cells, the cells in your organ of disease, cleaning the extracellular matrix, Pissinger was saying was the basis for biological medicine. Pert is adding to that. She's saying the opiate and the reciprocity, the dance between the organ and the opiates of the brain, is also the basis for biological medicine, holistic medicine. This is not flim-flam, ethereal nutrition or science. This is hard science. This is real science. And it is time, as Sheldrick's saying, to flip up this idiotic cage of myopia that we call science today. And you, the American public, you as well as I, we really have to take this in more deeply to ourselves. Because make no mistake about it, the disease rates are increasing. And they are increasing rapidly. And I do not say this to be conspiratorial. I say it simply as someone that's observing it. Even compared to 5 years ago, it is an alarming increase. And if you sit back and get calm and search your own truth bank, you will agree with me. There is more disease out there than ever. And I don't see this cage of science doing much about it. Do you? Whether that health care is free, whether that health care is costly, it's not cutting it. And so I submit to you in 2017 that it's time to bring back a true respect for how the body heals itself. that there are divine mechanisms, that even if we cannot measure them with great precision, we observe them empirically. And this is enough to make this science functional. Well, that's Rupert Sheldrake. That is Rene Descartes. That is Candace Pert. Take a look at some of the pictures. That is autophagy. Autophagy is one of these. I've got a bunch of them listed today. These known mechanisms within the cell, within the human body, that are commonly observed, not respected by myopic science, but that are generally respected by people who see the divine in the way the body heals. Well, how much does this mean to you? Well, other than the fact that one must, in the interest of improving symptomology, become familiar with autophagy, intermittent fasting, water fasting. I mean, what I'm saying in the ideal of it is that your hospitals and your mainstream medical groups would instruct their patients on how to use fasting and intermittent fasting and water fasting and juice fasting and all the great variations of fasting. Fasting is an art form from Herbert Sheldon on, in the ideal of it. But let's not even stay with the ideal of it. Let's just stick with holistic medicine today. Let's just stick with John Q. Public listening to radio shows, hoping that last week's supplement is going to bring about a change in symptomology, and sometimes finding, and perhaps often finding, that this is not the case, and suspecting that there are deeper, more radical answers, which is what this show is about. And let's consider the time and the money and the effort that you put into your health. And let's consider the sometimes disappointing results. And let's consider how many people feel like they're spinning in circles, switching radio station to radio station to find answers, reading book to find answers, going to doctor to find answers, only to be missing some of these more radical approaches, only to find that compliance is a monkey on your back, that there's only so much time in a day, and these health therapies take time, and they take energy, and they take money, and you may not have that time, even though you can barely stand and go to work, even though you may be on your last legs, even though you may have struggled with progressive disease for decades, it still comes down to time, energy, and money, and you have little of all three at this point. So there's a pessimism you bring, and part of that pessimism is the fact that everybody tells you you're crazy, that there's no science, that why should you fast to help your disease, that science doesn't support that fasting will have any effect, that any studies that were done didn't show any real change in symptomology. You will hear all of this. You will succumb to all of this. And it's on that basis that I do a show like this. Autophagy is real science. And that when the cell is fasted, it will, with a hierarchy of intelligence, driven by, yes, what you must call the divine intelligence of the cell, the cellular intelligence. You know, it's interesting. Biologists on the side, in the coffee shops, in the bars, will all admit to this intelligence. But get them up there on a podium, and like Sheldrake is saying, get them on a podium and they're all afraid. That is going to change. You will see this change. Be one of the chosen. Get ahead of this. And understand that it's worth the effort. Autophagy is a classic example. Here's another one. Epigenetics. This is what, the third, fourth time this year I've brought up epigenetics. Epigenetics. Why? Why do I bring up epigenetics? Because practically speaking, you face this issue each day. on the tip of the medical profession's tongue today. Lining up in the hospitals are doctors telling you to your autoimmune diseases and your cancers and your irreversible Crohn's diseases and IBSs as justifying arguments for a life on Prozac and Zoloft and other opiates. You're told that simply you're a matter of genes, and your genes have coded you to make it necessary for you to go on these drugs or to get these surgeries, to succumb to these diseases. And what science offers you today, myopically, what medicine offers you today is management of your disease. We're going to manage your diabetes. We're going to manage your insanity. We're going to manage your cancer. They don't offer cure. They offer management. And the reason they can only offer you management, although studies are underway for cure, and of course these studies have been going on for 50 years, the reason they offer you management instead of cure is because they've told you your genes have coded you for this disease, and that disease makes this condition irreversible. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a crock. That is a bastardization of science. That is an aberration. They are not scientists who are talking to you. They are people who implement standards of care given them to them by the industry. And whether they do it in their mind on behalf of your best interests or not, what they are telling you is a crock. And that is why we have epigenetics. Go online and look up the name Nessa Carey. I've had her YouTube clips. She's a molecular biologist out of England. She's got loads of stuff on YouTube. She's one of the very fine scientists today talking about epigenetics. That before you're going to tell somebody that your disease is the matter of turning certain genes on, that once these genes are turned on, this, of course, being your expressed genetics, there isn't anything you can do about it. Well, epigenetics doesn't agree with that. Epigenetics is a hard science, and epigenetics is as researched as genetics, except you're not hearing that. You're not hearing that. And the result of that, the result of young doctors not hearing that, They're not studying epigenetics, not on a functional level, not to the point where the genes that are turned on in a cancerous scenario or an autoimmune scenario or in any neurodegenerative progressive illness, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, so on and so forth, the result of this myopia, of this short-sightedness to include the real meaning of epigenetics, this hard science of epigenetics, is that you're given a death sentence. You have a progressive degenerative problem that we're going to manage. Sorry, there's not much you can do. It's in your genes. And once it's in your genes and these genes have been turned on, there's nothing you can do. That is not science. And this is what we mean by the scientific delusion. This is the delusion of science parading around as science. Now, I emphasize this because what you're told is that there's hard science that tells you you're in an irreversible condition, and yet there's this pseudoscience, this alternative medicine thing. Do you know alternative medicine is a gross name? It is a gross indictment of what I'm talking about here. Autophagy is not alternative medicine. Epigenetics is not alternative medicine. Endorphins in your organs, reciprocating communication lines with the endorphins and opiate centers in your brain, is not a pseudoscience. It is not alternative medicine. It is more medicine than the medicine. It is more science than the science you're being told is science. There is and should be no such thing as alternative medicine. In reality, and I have been in the trenches of this for 2.5 decades, in reality, alternative medicine is simply that medicine that you play with because it's avant and lots of fun. And then when you really get sick, it all gets flushed away and you run to your hospital and do your pharmaceuticals and your surgeries. Because you call it alternative, it implies that it's something less when in fact it's something so much more. But you have to build it on bedrock, not on nonsense. It is real science, what we call alternative medicine. Autophagy, epigenetics, endorphins reciprocating between the brain and the organ itself. The Chinese say, and so now we have to bring in Eastern medicine, something Americans are somewhat skeptical about and really should not be. Chinese medicine, Indian, East Indian medicine, all the ancient medicines, and there's another word you can't really use, right? Ancient. Ancient means stupid. Ancient means a bunch of savages. Ancient means pre-science. Ancient means pre-computer. Ancient means pre-technology. Ancient means when people combine the material plane with the God plane in one. Ancient means when people saw God in nature. You see? A little embarrassing when you look at it that way, isn't it? Embarrassing in that you know as well as I do that when someone tells you about the way it was done 500 years ago, the way health was pursued 500 years ago, it's a little embarrassing that really at the bottom of it, nobody trusts it because it's ancient. Well, ancient Chinese medicine understood that each organ had an emotion attached to it, that liver was anger, that the heart was sadness, that the lung was grief, and so on and so forth. And these organs, when they became diseased or symptomatic, you had to look at the emotion. Now, I'm going to tell you something from being in the field, being a clinician, working with people's health concerns for a long time now. When you work with someone that has a problem with an organ, a health concern with an organ, and you seek to strengthen their body so that their body can root out the problem in the organ, so that their body can figure in the labyrinth of choices how to pull someone out of disease. When you do that, you will invariably watch that person process through the emotions associated with that very organ, midriff through the journey, the healing journey, through the labyrinth of healing, through the dark night of doubt. You will see them come to terms with their anger. You will see them come to terms with their sadness. You will see them cry out to God to relieve them of their grief. You will see all the emotional dynamics, and if they are of sufficient faith, and if they get on the other side, and if they let that go, if they let those things go, if they forgive themselves and others, then you watch the organ heal. Now, I have seen that many times. Not often enough. There are too many people online at Kaiser awaiting their prescription and their surgeries. But I have seen it. Any practitioner worth their salt has seen it happen. And it's perfect testimony to an ancient notion that the emotions are held in the organ. And as long as they're held in the organ and prevent an opiate explosion, in other words, until the anger is purged from the liver, or the sadness from the heart, or the grief from the lung. Until that occurs, and until a dialogue opens up between the bliss of opiate reciprocity, a tangible, palpable, virtual feeling of bliss between the organ and the organ receptors, you don't see a healing. Now, there's another example of the divine, of divine law integrated into the science of PERT and the opiates. There is another example. But you don't hear about that example. That is not mainstream. That is that wacky alternative stuff. There's real science there. Let me tell you real science. Real science is that this cirrhosis in your liver, that this lupus in your kidney, is the product of a set of genes that are specific to you, and that for reasons we don't know but are under research, mind you, we have men working very diligently on the case. And someday we'll know why that the set of genes you had is expressing now. But there's not a darn thing you can do with it. There's not an insight you can give yourself to. You have two choices. Cut it out, or cut a piece of it out, or take drugs for the rest of your life, and we'll manage it. And that's the idiocy you're listening to. And then you're being told that these arguments are not science. Pert is not a scientist. Nessa Carey is not a scientist. The gentleman we just gave the Nobel Prize to, Yoshinori Osumi from Japan, the 2016 Nobel Prize in Medicine for, you know what, autophagy, his study of autophagy. That's not science, right? Autophagy is not science, and therefore the notion that to fast will enhance cellular detoxification and regeneration. And we gave the 2016 Nobel Prize to Yoshinori Oshima. And that's not science. There's a gap between science and what you hear online in your hospitals. You must understand, you're being sold short by institutions whose standards of care are 50 to 100 years behind the science. I think it was Candace Pert that talked about vitamin C, that we knew, I don't know, I think we knew like in the 1500s, I can't remember the years, that pine needles, that if you took pine needles, boiled them in water, and you drank that, you wouldn't get scurvy. But it was like 150 years from the time that was known that the medical profession in England would give their sailors limes and lemons. Examples like this abound, where things are so blatantly obvious and it takes science 100 to 150 years to incorporate it into the bureaucracy. And this is where you suffer today. It's another paralogue. It's another corollary to what I'm talking about today. So, you have a symptom, a progressive disease? Take the 2016 Nobel Prize to your doctor and ask him if intermittent fasting might not be part of your return to health. And when he tells you that that's not science, that nothing's been proven, point out that the 2016 Nobel Prize was given to autophagy, and point out that there is no doubt that this is one of the divine mechanisms, quite scientifically studied and quite on your side. Let's continue. I want to get to inflammation. There's another one. Inflammation. Now, you understand inflammation is bad. Inflammation bad, and I guess in a sense, inflammation is bad. You inflame, you ache, you have pain, inflammation disease, inflammation, take anti-inflammatories or herbs that function as anti-inflammatories, and your relationship with the word inflammation is that the more of it, the worse it is. And yet, there is a place for inflammation. And I'm going to make a great example, and then I'm going to talk about Schauberger, Victor Schauberger, a name you must know. What are you doing? And we all did. Outside my office, I keep roses. I like to play with roses. I don't have enough time to do as much as I want. And to date, I haven't been able to find a gardener that really knows anything. But I love having roses. And what did I just do? As the weather got cold in Southern California, I pruned my roses. Now, why did I prune my roses? Why did I take a great big sharp pair of scissors and slice my sensitive little flowers? Why? Well, we all know why we prune roses, because then in the spring and the summer, we get much better roses. We get bigger roses. We get thicker stems. We get more desirable progeny. Now, what do you think we're doing when we're slicing the stems? You think that's inflammation? You think if you took a big pair of cutting scissors to your fingers and sliced them, you wouldn't inflame them? And this is exactly the point. Part of regeneration is inflammation. You have to decompose it to regenerate it. You have to break it down to build it up. Now, that's another piece of science that suggests a molecular intelligence to the regeneration of the organism, like autophagy. Part of the reason we break things down in disease is because it stimulates growth. You have a chronic, progressive, degenerative disease. You know what you need? A pruning. You need a real, deep, thorough, consistent, relentless pruning. That's what all these detoxifications are. They're prunings. But you know, that's an alternative thing. It's something those poorly educated chiropractors and naturopaths and acupuncturists and lay people and bootleggers. It's that alternative thing that doesn't really work. The only thing you can do is drug it out or cut it out. Because that's intelligent. Because that's what the men of science say. Well, let me tell you what the men of science say. The men of science say that you have to inflame the tissue to regenerate it. You have to detox it to pull out the gunk. And then you have to continually stress the cell. You have to continually prune your plant so it will grow. You know what that means? It means along the way, as you heal a diseased organ, as you work hard to overcome a chronic progressive disease, you will have these inflammatory bouts where you'll think you're getting sick again. If you're trying to cure your hepatitis C, along the way, you may have flare-ups in the organ where your liver enzymes will shoot to the moon. As you're trying to cure your tumors, along the way, your cancer markers may go up. It means that as you heal, you inflame. Because effectively, all the therapies of natural medicine inflame your tissues from time to time. The German biological medicine says strengthen and detox. Strengthen and detox. If you don't have sufficient adrenaline to handle the therapy, you're going to crash the person in the detox. And so you have to, artfully speaking, allocate therapy relative to an individual's strength, and then you have to detox them. And so I don't sound too scientific or complicated. That just means use your common sense. Proceed with respect to what your body's telling you. Now, there's a guy here. I'm going to take a moment. Those of you new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website. You must get to the website, straighttalk.cc. I'm going to introduce a gentleman named Victor Schauberger. Go to picture 14. This is Victor Schauberger. You see his name on the bottom? He was a custodian of the forest, an educated but not formally credentialed man. Wrote a book called The Fertile Earth. wrote a book called Nature's Teacher, became legion in Europe for saving forests, for regenerating the forest by respecting natural law. Listen to what he says. Go to picture 18. No, I'll give you a better one by Schellberger. Go to picture 19. The majority believes that everything hard to comprehend must be very profound. This is incorrect. What is hard to understand is what is immature, unclear, and often false. The highest wisdom is simple and passes through the brain directly into the heart. Victor Schauberger. Anything you can read on this man, read it. Anything you can understand, understand it. Anything you can find, find it. The majority believes that everything hard to comprehend must be very profound. This is incorrect. What is hard to understand is what is immature, unclear, and often false. The highest wisdom is simple and passes through the brain directly into the heart. That means you don't need to have a PhD to know truth. That means if your spiritual axis is clear, you will embrace truth, and it can easily bypass the brain. Listen to the soul. Listen to your own soul. Depend less on your head and more on your soul. That's what Schauberger, holder of an infinite number of patents, still used today, and a man whose work I think we're on the fringe of understanding. Know that name. Get those books. Well, Schauberger in The Fertile Earth. Go to the top of the website on Schauberger. Here's a little article from Schauberger. Now, Schauberger's talking on page 24 of The Fertile Earth about plants. But you see, Schauberger did not stop at plants. Schauberger was talking about human organisms. Schauberger was talking about life. All growth must be preceded by the thorough decomposition of earthly life. Without the evolutionally younger generation of waste matter, no evolutionally older rising generation continued to evolve. Eternal rest for the deceased is therefore impossible, because it is the earthly remains of former life that breathes life into the rising generation. I can't get into it in the context of this show today. There isn't enough time, but you have no idea how this man, completely, I think, ignorant of Beauchamp and Enderlin, is talking from his standpoint about the exact same conclusions those men reached. And what does that mean to you? Locked in your symptomology. Trapped at the mercy of people who claim to be scientists, who have not even begun to understand science. It means you need to cleanse. It means you need to break down and decompose your half-dead body. It means when your organ is on the blink, the organ must be decomposed so that it can grow. Now, there it is. Again. And in that process of decomposition, meaning the cleanses, the colon cleanses, the liver cleanses, the kidney cleanses, the cardiovascular cleanses, the fibrin cleanses, getting your body soft enough and flexible enough so that you're effectively like a bathing suit in one of those dryers where you put it in and you turn the handle and just wring all the muck out of the bathing suit. Yes, indeed. To put yourself through a process like that is to decompose yourself, to fast 40 days and 40 nights, is to decompose yourself. And somewhere in that arc of decomposition, you will begin to sow the seeds of regeneration. Any scientist with respect for God, any scientist with respect for the divine, sees this is true. And yet you don't hear about this. And yet no one talks to you like this. And yet your doctors don't tell you any of this. They only tell you you're enslaved, irreversibly, and on your way to management, in a home, in a chair. And that's normal, because you're 70 or you're 80, and you've already reached the normal lifespan. That is disgusting. And that is what we're being told. It is what healthcare has reduced itself to today in the world, in the name of science. Read Sheldrick's book, Science Set Free. Now, regeneration. What is regeneration? Regeneration means that if you degenerate, you will start to knock on the door of the bone marrow. And if you're clean enough, out of the marrow will flow an abundance of stem cells, an everlasting abundance of stem cells, and it will target the areas of need in your body and seed and replant and regenerate your once diseased organ. That is a formula for success. It is not alternative. It is scientific. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Call the office if you're lost in the labyrinth and need some guidance. Make the appointment. 714-850-1007. Do it now. The sooner you do it, the easier it is. See you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.